This is what James said. This is what he used as an example of God's goodness. He says, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. I put it on the Message translation for you. It says, he has brought us to life using the true word, showing us off as the crown of his creation. Now, I want to talk about that verse. And the reason I want to talk about it for a moment is because James is going to talk about this idea of the word of truth over the next number of verses. And I want to make sure we understand what it is that he's exactly saying here. Now, obviously, he's referring to a spiritual birth or a spiritual life versus a natural one, right? Everybody know that? Like, he chose to give us birth, not meaning our natural birth, but a spiritual birth or rebirth, if you will. Now, I think if we did look at it in the natural realm, we celebrate people giving birth, right? We celebrate the idea of life. It's a good thing to give birth to something, right? That's a really good thing. The opposite would be to abort something or to not give life to something, and we know that that's not a good way to go. So instead, James says, God, through the word of truth, chose to give us life by stepping out on God's part, stepping out and doing what he did in order to bring us into a place of new life. He didn't have to do that. Let me say that again. He didn't have to do that. He could have left us dead in our sins and trespasses. But instead, God chose, to step out and say, I'm going to do the unthinkable. I'm going to send my son, and he will die so that they might have life. That's a good thing. And James says, that is, if we needed no other example, that is the example of God's goodness expressed towards us. Now, in the process of saying this, he uses this phrase, word or word of truth. And I want to talk about that for a moment here because, as I said, he's going to be talking about this. And I want to make sure we're all clear concerning what he's saying here. I think sometimes people get confused because it's used in a variety of different ways. So if we were to define the idea of word, true word, word of truth, however you would reference it, here is what that means. Go ahead, the next slide. Go ahead, you just run the slides. Go ahead, next slide. Okay, here is what that means. When we say word or word of truth, what we're saying is the self-expression of God. Now, to kind of draw that out a little bit, the word is that which is consistent with, or we might say it this way, the word is that which is expressed and is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Are you still with me? I know this is digging a little deeper, but just hang in there with me for a minute. I think you'll understand what I'm trying to say. Now, the first expression of that on God's part was creation. Creation. Go to the next slide there, please. Creation. God, in forming what he formed, was a way of expressing himself and the truth that he is. In fact, Paul points to this in Romans chapter 1 when he says this. He says, people have been trying to suppress the truth, but he goes on to say, you can see the truth just by looking at what God has made. So the first way that word, truth, true word, however you want to say it, gets expressed is through that which God has created. But he didn't stop expressing himself there. Go to the next slide. The other way that God has expressed himself is he began to speak through and work through people. As you turn back in your Bible to the Old Testament and you kind of read through that part of the Bible, you'll find that God spoke through, God worked through various people and situations in the Old Testament. And by doing so, he was bringing forth the word of truth. You still with me? He was expressing himself. He was making himself known. And as he was doing that, the word of truth was going forth. In fact, you can go to numerous scriptures in the Old Testament, many of the Psalms, a lot of the Psalms, where that very phrase or a phrase like that is used. Like, O Lord, your word is truth. Or, O God, you are our God and your word is truth. Things that express that idea of God revealing himself through and to the people of under the Old Covenant or in the Old Testament. But God didn't stop there. Go to the next slide. His I would say it this way. It's like his chief expression was through his son, Jesus Christ, who himself gets referred to as the word of truth or the word. You remember when John wrote in John 1, instead of the typical Christmas story, he just simply says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, right? So in Jesus Christ, God expressed himself in physical form to say, if you want to know how I think, if you want to know how I act, if you want to know how I behave, here it is. I'm putting it to you right in front of you in flesh form. This is me in front of you, right? The word, the truth, his expression of himself. But he didn't stop there. Because when Jesus was on earth, he said, I'm leaving, but in my absence, I will send to you the promise of the Father, the person of the Holy Spirit. And do you remember what he said about him specifically? He said, Jesus refers to him as the Spirit of truth. Right? And he says, he will make known to you that which I have said to you and even more. Right? He will express to you who God is and teach you of things yet to come. So God has brought his word, his truth, to bear. And the last slide there, we might say it this way. It's like this book that we call the Bible is, we call it the Word, right? That's how we refer to it a lot of times, God's Word. And the reason we can say that is because within the pages of this book is God expressing himself to us as mankind. And because it is the expression of himself, it becomes the Word or Word of Truth or True Word to us. So the Bible, whether Old Testament, New Testament, people within the Word, all of that is when James says he has saved us or he's chosen to give us birth through the Word of truth. It's not like either or, it's all the above, right? It's all of those things that God has worked with us as humanity to bring us to a place of you know, birthing us or giving us life in him. Now, with all that being said, I want to begin now with the verse for today. Here it is, right here. Go ahead. In verse 19, James writes and says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life God desires. Why don't you turn to somebody right now and say, today is for you. I can promise you, today is for you. This is for you. It's for me, but I promise it's for you. In this opening few words when he says, my dear brothers, take note of this. In the Greek language, what he's trying to convey is something like this. This, what I'm about to tell you, is worth putting on a billboard on Route 400. You know the billboards there along the road? James is saying, when he says, take note of this, in essence, what the original language is saying is pin this up on the bulletin boards in the public square. Everybody needs to hear this. So I'm thinking, how would we do that in our culture? We would put it on a billboard where everybody driving by would be able to hear it, right? So to me, that tells me what he's about to say is significant. You know, this isn't and by the way, this is, you need to get this. And I think you're going to see why here in just a moment. Now, the very first way he starts out is by saying, everyone. Say that with me on a count of three. One, two, three. Everyone. Now, it's really interesting. If you go to the Greek in this for this word, it literally means everyone. Imagine that, right? It means everyone. Young, old, male, female, rich, poor, handicapped, non-handicapped. It means everyone. Everybody should be quick to listen. Quick to listen. It's interesting to note, and we should be reminded of this occasionally, that the early church, which is who he's writing to, we might call them an oral culture, not a written culture. It was more of an oral culture. And what we mean by that is that the way they received information was by listening to others tell them stuff, right? They didn't have books like you and I have books. They didn't have the Bible like you and I have Bible. In fact, nobody would probably, it's likely that none of the average people would have had any scripture in their possession, right? So they were utterly relying on others to orally tell them, you know, what the scripture said, what God is saying. They were, in fact, this letter, this very letter, James writing to people, right? The average person wouldn't have received this letter. It wasn't like, you know, you put a stamp on it and it ends someplace. There would have been couriers who would have taken the letter and they would have tried to get it into the hands of various leaders throughout the region. And those leaders, in turn, would have taken the letter and read to the people that they were helping to oversee. So when he says everybody should be quick to listen, again, in their culture, that would have been the only way they would have been able to know what in the world was going on. Been quick to listen, to hear. But I've got to believe that James is saying something much deeper than that. You know, in the Bible, this idea of hearing or listening is a really big deal. Really, really big deal. In fact, over 700 times throughout the Bible, the exhortation for us to hear or to listen is made. 700 times. There are a variety of ways that it kind of gets passed along through Scripture. Throughout the Old Testament, one of the regular refrains was, "Hear, O Israel. Listen up. Pay attention." In the New Testament, Jesus said multiple times when he went to teach something to the people, he would say, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." In other words, pay attention. Listen up. And some of the very last words of the Bible, John wrote and said, "Let him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So the idea that's being presented to us is more than just being able to audibly hear or physically hear. There is a, this admonition comes along with the idea of us listening with our inner ear in order to hear what it would be God would speak to us. James is saying, be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. Now, there are two sides, as I see it, two sides of listening or hearing. Next slide. The first side of it, Jesus mentions in Mark 4. He says, consider carefully what you hear. Consider carefully what you hear. Now, I have an illustration that I'd like to give to you this morning that I think puts this very nicely. In the airstream, if you will, of what it is you and I could listen to, there are a myriad of voices coming at us. All day long, every day, there are things being spoken. Some of it's coming from the outside in. Some of it's coming from the inside. We call it self-talk. You know, stuff that's being generated right within our very being that's coming to us for us to listen to. And I would liken it very much like a radio. Do you remember what a radio, the old radios were like? Right? I had to actually see if we could find one. Here it is, right here. And for those of you who are 25 and younger anyways, this is what it sounds like, a radio sounds like, if it's not tuned in, right? Now, as you go, they have a little dial over here, right here, and that was used to get it to a particular station, right? So as you work your way down the dial or up the dial, not sure what that is. This radio stinks. I'm trying to find a country western because that's when I know you're going to get up. Is that the pig? Do you get the idea? Jesus says, be careful what you listen to. Because in life, there are all kinds of stations coming at us. And there are ones you can tune into. And then that becomes what you're hearing. Now, you're going to find out why that's really, really important. And again, I want to say for emphasis, some of that which is coming to us is coming from the inside of us. It's not, I'm not talking just about what you listen to on the radio. You understand that, right? Although that might be important too. But it's not just about all the noise that's coming at us from the outside. It's about, a lot of times, the noise is coming at us from the inside. So Jesus said, first of all, be careful what you listen to. The station that James is asking us to tune into and listen to is the word of truth. Let me say that again. You'll see it in just a second clearer. The station, if we were to liken it to a radio, the station that James is asking us to be quick to listen to is the word of truth. That's the station he's calling us to dial into so that that is what's feeding us, the word of truth. But beyond what we listen to, as important or maybe more importantly, Jesus said this. Next slide. Be careful how you listen. Not just what you listen to, but how it is you listen to it. Those are two different things. One is the source from which I'm drawing from. The other is how I'm relating with that source that I'm drawing from. Now, that's what I primarily want to talk about. When James says, he says, concerning the right source, we should be quick to listen. He's pointing us towards the idea of being attentive in our hearts. Quick, attentive, paying attention, listening up, however you want to say it. Now, a great word picture, the word picture in the Greek, actually, for this idea, this quick to listen, is that of a mother hearing her baby's cry. Now, here is what is unique about a mother and her baby's cry. You see, when did you hear the child that was crying earlier in this? Yeah, I planned that. I said, could you please make your kid scream? Because I want to use this as an example. Now, when I don't know about you folks, but when I hear a baby scream or cry, they all sound the same to me. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard. It bothers me. I'm just being honest. It does. But a mom, when she hears her child crying, interprets that whole thing different than I do. You see, not only does she, when she hears her child cry, she knows it's her child crying. From all the other cries that are out there, she knows that's her baby crying. But even beyond that, she knows how that baby is crying and what that particular cry. Thank you so much. That was awesome. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to come to Pioneer on a Sunday morning and not hear a baby cry, which is a really good thing, I might say. But a mom knows not just the sound of the baby's cry. A mom knows how to interpret that cry as to whether it has to do with soiled diapers, food-related items, spoiled, whatever. You know, sometimes when our kids were little and the kids were crying and I'm like, ee! You know, I'm like this. And Jody said, well, they're hungry. I'm like, how do you know that? Or another time they're crying, she's like, they need their diaper changed. I'm like, how do you know that? Like, that sounds the same to me. But there's something about a mom who is attentive, who it doesn't know just what she's listening to, but she knows how to listen. Now, there's a great story in the Old Testament of this being exampled out. It's a story about a lady by the name of Hannah who was desperate to have a child. She was unable to get pregnant. And she cried out to the Lord in such a way that she said, God, if you will give me a son, I will turn around and give that son to your kingdom and purposes for his whole life. God heard her cry, opened up her womb, gave her a baby boy. She called him Samuel. And if you go back and you read the story, it says right after he was weaned, she took him, and you know what she did? She dropped him off at the church. Literally. She took the child, not just to go to church that week. No. She dropped him off to live there. She dropped him off to the priest's name at the time, who was Eli. She said, listen, here's the deal. I was back here a while ago. I was praying here. You thought I was crazy. If you know the story, it's like she was, her mouth was moving, but there were no words coming out. The priest Eli thought she was like, she was like, whoa, something's wrong with that lady. She said, no, you don't understand. I'm crying out to God. I desperately, so desperately want a child. She goes away, as I said, she gets pregnant, she has a baby, the baby gets weaned, dropped, brings him back to Eli and said, I told the Lord if he gave me a son, I would commit him to full-time ministry for God, right? Now, here's the cool part about the story. Samuel's there, apparently, I don't know what I would do if one of you dropped off your child. Nah, I don't think so. So Eli takes the boy, begins to mentor this boy and train this boy and so forth and so on. And it tells us, the story goes on to say that Samuel grew up in the company of Eli. And on one particular occasion, Eli is nodding off. He's fallen asleep. And Samuel decides to lay down in the area of the temple there, in that particular area that they were in, decides to lay down there. And as Samuel is laying there, he thinks he hears his name being called. Now remember, Eli is almost asleep. Samuel is headed to being asleep. And he's like, Samuel. Samuel, instead of like, yeah, whatever, it tells us he got up immediately, ran to Eli, saying, what would you like? What is it? Why did you call my name? And Eli says, I didn't call your name. Why are you coming to me? But what I want you to see is that attentive heart, that attentive spirit that Samuel had is the one that James is calling us to when he says we should be quick to listen. We should be quick to listen to the voice of God in our life. If you know the end of that story, it was really God trying to get Samuel's attention. And finally, Eli figured that out and said, hey, I think God's trying to talk to you. And Samuel's response was, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. That's the same idea that James is presenting in his letter to those believers at that time and to us in our time, is that we should look to be incredibly attentive to the voice, to the word. You know, we're not all that attentive sometimes. You know that, right? What? Exactly. I read this story this week. And I thought it was funny, and I would share it with you. This is a true story told about President Franklin Roosevelt, who as a president often had to endure long lines of people shaking his hands and, you know, receiving lines for different functions and whatnot. And he said to one of his helpers there one time, he said, "You know, I feel like I could say anything to people and they wouldn't hear a word that I say." So on one particular occasion, he decided to try a little experiment. This is a true story. And in quiet words, under his breath, he said, as people were going through and he was shaking their hands, he said this phrase, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." So somebody would come and shake his hand. "I murdered my grandmother this morning. I murdered my grandmother this morning. I murdered my grandmother this morning." To which people replied, "Marvelous. Keep up the good work. We're proud of you. God bless you, sir." But there was one man in the line who actually heard what he said. And this one man simply leaned in and said, "I bet she deserved it." I don't know if you found this out, but listening is something that I've had to train myself to do. It does not come naturally to most of us. Because here's why. While most people are hearing what someone is saying, they are already inwardly thinking to themselves what they're going to say in response to what that person's saying. The art of listening is being able to actually hear what the other party is saying. It is about being attentive with a heart that desires to understand. In a moment, James is going to mention the word humility, and here's how it plays into this moment. You see, humility, when humility is at work within us, you're thinking less of yourself and more of the other party. Hello? Remember, I told you were supposed to turn to somebody and say, "This is for you today," right? What? You won't be just hearing words. You'll be looking to hear beyond the words what's going on in the heart of the person. In order to listen effectively, you have to be still on the outside and on the inside. You have to give your full attention to what the other party is saying. James is telling us that we should be quick to listen, meaning very attentive to the things God would speak to us. Another story I read this week was about a guy who had in his earlier years in life. I thought of Burt Mark when I read this story. He worked in an ice house, what was called an ice house, where they took chunks of ice out of the lake and brought them to this ice house. And because this ice house had no door, only had one door, but it was an enclosed structure, they would bring the chunks of ice in there and they would pack them in sawdust. And because it was so effective, this was before refrigerators and the way we cool things now, they could get ice in the wintertime. And the ice in these ice houses would last all the way through the end of summer. People could come and buy their ice. That's pretty impressive. And on one occasion, a guy lost his watch while he was in there stacking ice and putting sawdust over the ice to try to preserve the ice. He lost his watch. And he himself and several of his buddies went in there and they tried to look through the sawdust and they couldn't find his watch anywhere. And a young man said, "Let me try finding your watch." So he said, "In order for me to find it or to try to find it, I need everybody out of here." He closed the door and he laid down. A few minutes later, he came out with the watch. And they said, "How in the world did you find the watch?" He said, "I simply got it quiet enough so that I could hear it ticking. So that I could hear the sound of the watch ticking." You know, a lot of times it's not that God is not speaking. That's not the problem. God is trying to speak to us. The problem is we don't take time to slow down enough and get quiet enough to hear what he's saying. And we all know it to be true. We're just going constantly. We've got this thing going, we got that thing going, and about the time we slow down, you know what we do? We fall asleep. Sometimes this being successful and quick to listen is about us removing all the other stations. Someone has made the astute observation that God has given us two ears and only one mouth. We're to take from that that we should be twice as quick to listen as to speak. But the facts are, it's usually the other way around, isn't it? It usually goes something like this, that we're quick to speak, quick to get angry, and slow to listen. Hello? Have I got the right crowd?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm thinking here. The lack of getting this right. Remember, James said, put this up on the billboard, that everyone should be quick to listen. The lack of getting this right has caused marriages to dissolve. Hello?
Yes.
It has caused marriages to dissolve. It has caused churches to be divided. And dare I say, countries to go to war. James tells us in this passage, there's nothing good at all that comes from getting this wrong. It does not produce the godly life that we're supposed to be after. In closing, I'd like to go to the next thing. He says, I just want to close with this verse. I'm almost done. He says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. And humbly, remember I said he would mention humble. Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. James is talking about receiving, listening, taking in the Word of God. And he likens it to a garden here, allowing it to be implanted in us. But in order for that to actually take place, James says it's like we've got to go out there and we've got to weed the garden. We've got to get out all the other junk, or else the seed of the Word will not be able to be planted in us. Now, here's something really, 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 really interesting. The Greek word, you can go to the next slide. The Greek word for filth is the word ruparos. Ruparos. And it simply means dirt or dust. He says, get rid of the filth. Get rid of the dirt. Get rid of the dust. But it comes from a root, the root word. See ruparos on the top. It comes from this, the root word rupos. You see it? Can you see the similarity? Okay. Next slide. This is what that word means. Earwax. Is that crazy? I want you to go to the next picture. I spared you. I just want you guys to know. I want you to know something, okay? I went and YouTube videos about people getting earwax out of their ears, and I nearly made Josh throw up. I mean, I said, come, you got to see this. And he's like, I'm sparing you that this morning, okay? So I just went with a rendering. I think that's what they call these. Does anybody know what earwax is? It's a secretion that your body naturally produces in order to keep the inner part of your ear moist and flexible and, you know, usable. So the sound comes in, everything's like just, you know, moist and soft and can pick up all the reverbs and all that stuff. Like God has a purpose for it. But what ends up happening is the reason earwax ends up becoming a problem for us is that while our body is producing that on the in the inner part of our ear, there's also stuff from the outside trying to get in our ear. Dirt, debris, whatnot. So those two things, they end up mixing, right? And left unattended to, this picture here shows it completely blocked off, right? I mean, I'm not going to show you the video, I promise. You know, why don't you go to the next slide? I think this is the closest I could get you to it, all right? I didn't want anybody throwing up. Go ahead, next slide. Is there another slide? Okay, great, we'll leave it right there. I must have opted against it. Anyways, in some of these videos, I mean, what they're bringing out of people's ears is crazy. I mean, it's bizarre. It's absolutely nuts. James is saying here, essentially, in order for the word, for us to be able to hear the word, and for it to have its meaningful purpose in our heart and life, we got to get the earwax out of our ears. The reason that we're not hearing as we should is because we've let all this other stuff build up in us in such a way that it's causing us to go like, huh? What'd you say? Huh? What'd you say? Huh? I can't hear you. We have to get the other stuff taken care of in order to be able to receive the word in a way that it will actually accomplish what God sent it to do. James is telling us things like wrong attitudes, thinking of ourselves more than others, fleshly actions and reactions are like earwax in our ear that make it difficult at best and impossible at worst to be quick to listen as we should be. I want to pray for us this morning. I don't know if anybody would say, I could be a better listener. For sure, we could all be better listeners of God, right? We could be better at tuning into the right station and bringing our hearts to bear. And so we're not just what we're listening to, but how we're listening. but even in regards to other people. You know, sometimes we already go into situations and whatnot with already fixed agendas, right? We're already firmly established in where we're at and what we're going to tell other people. Well, when we do that, it's impossible to listen. We've already come to our conclusions. We've already made our determinations. And as I said a moment ago, it's led to the rupture of countless relationships. Lord, help us to listen. I believe that one of the things that made Jesus Christ so incredibly attractive to people is that he listened to people. You know, when the previous people of spiritual leadership were dealing with the people, I often pictured as them just coming in and just saying, this is the way it is. You know, this is how we do it. And whether anybody wanted to say anything or not, nobody was listening. And I think what attracted people to Jesus is that he actually listened to their hearts. He actually heard their cries. He gave audience to them. He gave ear to them. You know, I think one of the struggles that we face as believers in the here and now is that, you know, when people hear that we're Christians, I already think they're thinking, well, they don't really want to hear what I have to say. And if any people on planet Earth should be good at listening, it should be you and I. Our Savior listened and then spoke appropriately in those moments. And as Him being our example, we should be quick to listen. Just listening. Trying to hear what their hearts are saying. Lord, help us to listen. Help us to listen first and foremost to you, that we might carve out opportunities to get real still, so we might actually hear your voice. That when we go to your word and we take that in visually but audibly at the same time, Lord, we're taking it in, that we might hear your heart in all of that. Not just the words on the page, but your heart in all of that. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. And when we're put in situations where we're having to hear what others are trying to tell us, Lord, help us to be good listeners. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. That should be our heart. That should be our mantra. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Could we just say that together as a prayer to him this morning? Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. As we navigate our way through the week this week, Lord, We say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.